I pray that you'd help this large group pay attention, Father, as we know you dwell with us. And so, Father, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, and just let us focus in on what you have to say to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, now I'm sure you guys have heard it in school. I'm sure you've heard it at home, the word debt, right? And the government's in debt. The schools are in debt. Your family may even be in debt. And it's the reason why we're in this quote-unquote economic crisis, right? How many of you guys have ever heard the term national debt, right? Okay, not many of you. Let me tell you what it is then. National debt is any money that the government overspends pretty much, right? Any money that the government owes. So say they say, hey, we're going to go into Iraq and we're going to spend $7 billion there. And, well, say it ends up spending $23 million there. Then all that excess money gets put into the national debt. It's money that we technically owe, that we keep taking debts out on. And get this, this is pretty insane. Since September 2008, the national debt grows by $4.1 billion every single day. So the U.S. gets more in debt by $4.1 million every single day. And there's actually a website where there's just a continuous clock, a money clock rolling and rolling and rolling and just showing how much debt we're actually increasing in. And we're much higher than we ever have been. Get this, a record $12.5 trillion. $1 trillion. Now maybe you're thinking, trillion, okay, that sounds like a lot of money. Well, let me show you really quickly what the difference between a million, a billion, and a trillion is, just to put this in perspective for you. I did a little research. Get this. Okay, so the government owes about $12 billion, I said, right? How many of you guys think that if you lived to 100, you'd live a trillion seconds at least? Anybody in here think that? Okay, good majority of you guys think that. Well, get this. A million seconds, 12 days. A billion seconds, 31 years. A trillion seconds, 31,688 years. If you live 30,000 years, you wouldn't live a trillion seconds. That's how huge this is. Isn't that insane? We haven't even existed as a country for a trillion seconds. We haven't even been on this planet for a trillion seconds, which is amazing. And think about this. There's not even a trillion stars in our solar system. That's amazing. And here's another little thing for you. $10 trillion, obviously less than what we owe, if you put it end on end, could go around the globe 360 times. Is that amazing or what? Or how about this? If you were a trillionaire, everybody, just $1 trillion, you could spend $10 million every single year, or every single day, excuse me, for 273 years before you went broke. Is that amazing? You couldn't even spend $10 million a day if you tried. You're like, oh, give me a chance, right? Well, those are some amazing facts, and I was blown away. But when I started to think about national debt, what blew me away is I started to think about how much debt must we be racking up in sin, right? How many sins must we be committing every single day? Now, the average number of people is about 307 people in America. And so I started to do just a little bit of math. Now, of course, the Bible says that anything you do out of faith is sin, meaning there's a ton of people whose whole lives are just sin, right? But here's what I did. I thought, well, say just Americans. Say they do an average of 50 sinful acts a day. So like maybe they lust after somebody or they steal something or whatever. Let's just say they do an average of 50 sinful acts a day. Well, get this. If you times that by the 307 million people that are living in America, that's 15.3 billion sinful acts in America alone every day. Now, that's just 307 million people. What about the 6 billion people on our planet? Well, I did that too. If there was the 6 billion people and they did 50 sins a day, we would be sinning 300 billion sinful acts a day against God. Wow. A lot more than national debt, Rob. But the reason I want to tell you guys this is because national debt is important. It's important to think about things. It's important to manage your money well. But the thing about it is, we should be way more worried about the sinful debt that we have building up. Debt is one of the five words used in the New Testament for sin. And today, as we continue our study in Matthew, we're going to look at forgiveness, right? Because as I was doing this message and I was thinking about all these sins going on, right? 300 billion sins every single day. As I thought about that, I thought, who could ever fix this problem? And it seems like God's the only one who could ever fix this problem, right? And the way that God fixes this debt, this sin that we have, is he does it by forgiveness. So we're going to study a message today called, You Can't Spell Forgiveness Without Give. We're going to look at four quick topics. We're going to see how forgiveness comes from God. We're going to see how forgiveness is needed daily. We're going to see how forgiveness is sanctifying. And we're going to see how forgiveness is conditional. So let's read the whole text before we get started. As if you guys remember, probably a couple weeks ago, we read the Lord's Prayer, what's called the Disciples' Prayer. So we're going to read a little bit of that. So I'm going to be starting in verse 9, and then 11, 12, and then 14, 15. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Down to 11. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. So the first point we're going to talk about tonight is called Forgiveness is from God. Now, there are plenty of religions out there that talk about forgiveness. In Buddhism, it's actually practice. It's removing the unhealthy emotions in your life that can help, that can hinder your mental well-being. They say that if you don't forgive, that'll mess up your karma. That's what Buddhists say. Now there's something, another religion called Sikhism. Forgiveness is the remedy to anger, they say. You forgive somebody when you're compelled by compassion to do it. Islam, we all have heard of Islam. Islam actually comes from a word meaning peace. Funny, right? And then so they say that forgiveness is a prerequisite for peace, that forgiveness must come before peace. Well, that's good. Great. Good for them, right? That's fine. These things all sound fine, right? But here's the deal. Just because they can talk about forgiveness doesn't mean that they're forgiven. You see, the difference between Christians and Sikhs and Buddhists and Muslims is that only our religion is based on truth, right? And not just because we say it's true, because there's plenty of people, Buddhists think that they're true, Muslims think that they're true, right? But it's because out of everything, we have the most evidence for our faith, for our religion. The Bible has more credit than any other book in antiquity, in the past. Any book, whether it's religious or non-religious, there's no book with more evidence and credibility as the Bible. Right? And so we can say with truth that we can be forgiven, right? So to be forgiven means that you must have the right God first, because there's no forgiveness outside of Christ. There's no forgiveness outside of the cross. That's the whole reason for the cross was forgiveness. So people can talk about forgiveness all they want, but without Jesus Christ, their forgiveness is as false as their religion, right? So forgiveness must come from God. Look at verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Down to 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Okay, Jesus just started off his prayer by saying, right? Our Father, speaking to God. And then he says, right after that, what we just read, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So it's obviously very important in our prayer life that we're seeking God out, right? That we're asking him forgiveness in our prayer life. Because even if we've hurt a family member or we've hurt a friend, most importantly, we need to seek out God because we've hurt him the most with our sin. We need to seek him out first. Now, the reason I say first is because we're going to see later on in our fourth point that after we seek forgiveness from God, there's also other people that we need to seek forgiveness from. But for right now, we're going to focus on this part. I don't know if you guys were here on that Wednesday night that we watched Pilgrim's Progress. It's also a book, of course, first. Awesome book. I recommend you guys reading it. It's super fun. But here's the deal. In the movie, in the book, there's a guy named Christian, right? And he's a Christian. And he's got this burden on his back, right? And a burden is just all these things that he's done wrong in his life. All the sin. All the things that he did wrong. And so the whole time he's looking to get his burden lifted. He's trying to get this weight off his back, all this guilt that he has for all the things that he's done in his life. And so everybody in the world, of course, says they have an idea for him. Hey, do this, seek this out, or find this, and do this. And everybody's from the world, so their answers never lift his burden. But then there's another guy whose name in the book is Evangelism. And so he tells him the way to the cross, and it's when Christian finally meets Jesus that his burden gets lifted off of his back, right? Not Buddha, not Allah, nobody but the cross of Christ can bring forgiveness, can lift a burden off your back, right? That's why Jesus said, hey, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And what he meant by that is it's very exhausting to carry around all this guilt and all this sin for all the things you've done in your life. So Jesus says, hey, when you come to me, I'll lift that burden right off your back. I'll give you mine, right? And I'll take your heavy load. And so we're able to rest in Jesus. True forgiveness, the kind that brings eternal life, comes from God. And Jesus is going to show us that we need to ask for forgiveness daily. That's our next point, called forgiveness is needed daily. Be honest with me. Who here has a gigantic pile of clothes on their floor right now that they haven't washed? All right, there you go. I thought that we'd have a good topic here, all right? Now, I don't know how it's possible. It's like Lisa and I, like, we spend a whole day doing laundry. 2 days goes by, and I got, like, a pile, like, this big on back on the floor. I'm like, who could wear so many clothes in a day, right? And how nice would it be if we had the time, right, to do our laundry every single day, right? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could do that? Well, because then what would happen? It would keep the pile from lifting up, right? It would keep this gigantic pile from building up and building up. Well, it's the same thing with forgiveness, all right? We can't let sin pile up in our lives like dirty clothes. You know how hard it is to deal with a pile of clothes that's almost taller than you, and so we need to stay on top of the laundry, but more important, we need to stay on top of our sin. When we take care of our sin daily, it will prevent us from bringing back that burden that we left before, right? Now, something I want to explain to you really fast, just so nobody in here is like, wait, did you just say that, like, I'm not forgiven or something like that? No. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for you. He died for all of your sins, present, past, and future, right? So I want to assure you, if you're a believer in Christ and say you mess up and you sin and you die right after that and you haven't confessed your sin, don't worry, you're still going to go straight to heaven, because if you believe in Jesus by faith, you're going to go to heaven and you won't be in danger of hellfire just because you didn't confess one sin. But here's the deal. Maybe you're wondering, then, why do we confess our sins? What's the point? Aren't we forgiven? We are. But we do it for a couple of reasons here. Number one, because the Bible says we should do it. That should be enough for us. How many of you guys' parents have ever said, because I said so, right, to something? And you're like, dude, that's the lamest excuse ever, right? And you're just like, ugh, like, give me an answer. Give me a real answer, right? Well, that's okay for your parents. But if somebody says, because the Bible says so, it should change things for you. Right? That's not a lame excuse. That excuse comes with authority, saying because the Bible says so. So that's why we confess sin. But another reason is because of this. Because when we confess our sins, it gives us a reality check of how we're living our lives. I read a story about a family who was, they started a swear jar. Family had problems saying the right words, right? Just kept saying, like, bad words, kept cussing all the time, and they didn't want to do it anymore, so they figured, I'm going to put a dollar in it. Every time somebody says a naughty word, you put a dollar in that jar. And sure enough, that jar got full of money. And so they looked back and said, man, we're sinful. Look at us, dude. We can see all this money. Look at all those dollar bills in there. That's all the times that we have said something that we shouldn't be saying, right? And so they got to see that. And so you see, just like that money piled up, they got to see how much they were swearing and how much profane language they were using. And so it's the same for us as we confess our sins. Because think about this. If every time you guys do something that God doesn't want you to do, if you stop and confess your sin, it's going to show you just how sinful you are in your life. It really will. Because when you look back in a day and you say, dude, I had to stop and confess sin like 30 times today. My goodness, man. I've got something in my life that I need to repent from. I'm obviously not 100% following God. I'm obviously not doing everything that he's asked me. So you can look back in your throughout the day and say, man, at like 9, I had to confess that thing I did, and at 10, and at 10:15, and at 11. And you can look back and see how you're living your life, right? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, see, without continuous confession, you guys, Satan can make you believe that you're doing a lot better than you are. Right? Because here's the deal. If you sin throughout the day and you're like, oh, it's cool, Jesus covered me on that one, right? That's true. But without stopping to think about it, you may just get so caught up in the day that you're not even realizing the sinful things you're doing. And then guess what? Now the whole day has gone by, and when you look back, you're like, I did pretty good today living for God. I did all right. But you really didn't. It's just because you didn't stop and take the time to confess your sin, right? Another reason we confess is because it shows that we believe that God is right, that God is true. I mean, think about this. The person who doesn't believe in God, when they have a lustful thought, which is sin, they're not like, oh no, I did something sinful and wrong. They're like, we don't care. It's just a normal thought for us. But when we do that, when we stop and pause, we acknowledge that God dictates what's right and wrong. See that? Right? When you stop and say, I just lusted after that guy or girl, and Lord, I know that's not what you asked of me, forgive me, right? You're acknowledging that he has a right way, that it's not you make up the rules, that it's he makes up the rules, right? And so we want to acknowledge that, and that's why another reason why we can confess. So when you guys confess your sin, it'll give you a reality check, all right, on a true relationship with God, and it'll show you if your actions are really true and if you're really walking worthy as a child of God. Let's move on to our fourth point. Third point, forgiveness is sanctifying. Now think of something you really like to do in here, okay? Think of like a hobby you really like to do. Maybe you like to dance, or maybe you like to paint, or maybe you like to play basketball, share your faith, skateboard. Think of that one thing that you do. Now I hope when you guys think of that one thing you do, that you're trying to do those things better throughout the years, right? I mean, with certain practice, God made our bodies so we're able to do things better and better, right? I mean, imagine if you're a skateboarder, right? And you learn one trick when you first get started, right? And then 20 years goes by, and you're still doing the same trick. Like, you didn't learn anything over 20 years. It's like, how lame. You haven't done anything. Or like, you know, something else that you do. You can just insert whatever it is you do in there. Now, I hope you guys want to practice and do better. Like, think of a dancer. They have to do the hard things, right? You don't just learn balance, right? You have to balance. You have to learn balance. You have to know how to do these things. You can't just go up there and do it or you'll look like a fool, right? So you got to do the hard work. But with the hard work comes great gain. And that's the exact same thing with forgiveness. Here's the deal. The process of you getting changed into a stronger Christian, into more of the image of Jesus, not like growing a beard and wearing a robe and putting on sandals, not that kind of image of Jesus, but like the characteristics of Jesus, that process is called sanctification, okay? And so if we're supposed to be known for the characteristics of Jesus, well, guess who's known for forgiveness? No one but Jesus. No one embodies forgiveness more than the Christ. So to forgive others is like to put in that practice. It makes you stronger. It's the hard work that'll pay off in the long run. It's like taking spiritual steroids, man. It'll get you really pumped up really quick, all right? Because it's hard work. Now, I know many of you in here have probably been seriously hurt by many people in your life, okay? And I'm sure it's very hard for you to see them, let alone forgive them. But when you're being sanctified, you're being set apart. Right? You're being different. We're supposed to be different from the world. Because see, what the world says is they say, hey, forgive, but don't forget. That's not very Christ-like. Because to forgive but not forget, that means that if that person ever makes a mistake again, you're going to hold it over their head again and say, hey, remember last time when you totally messed me over, right? Remember last time when you totally did something wrong to me? And your friend's like, dude, you forgave me for that. Yeah, but I didn't forget it. It's kind of like pretend forgiveness. It's not real forgiveness. You're only saying you forgive them, but you really don't mean it. You want to hold a grudge. We must forgive other people, all the people, even the hardest people, the people who have wronged you so much. If you guys remember, in Matthew, we'll read about it once we get there in a couple of months, but Peter says, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times? Right? So he's like trying to get a number on it. Like, dude, if some guy does something wrong to me 7 times on the 8th time, I'm going to boot him, right? Or something like that. So, and Jesus goes, no, Peter, you got it all wrong. I tell you, 70 times 7, or 490 times if you can't do the math. I don't think that any of us have ever been wronged by the same person 490 times. Jesus is saying, continuously forgive people. Now maybe you're thinking, why should I? Why should I forgive somebody who's wronged me? Well, because Jesus did. No one has ever wronged somebody like we wronged Christ. 300 billion times a day we wrong Christ, right? Remember that number, all the sins? Or how about when they're pounding nails into his wrists, into his feet, right? Jesus doesn't say, payback's coming, just you wait. He says, just like we saw in that video, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did you hear that? Forgive them as they murder him, as they're in the act of murdering him. He says, forgive them. I'm pretty sure none of us in here have ever been in that situation, right? And so if Jesus, in this moment, when he's being murdered, can say, forgive them, then I think all of us can do that too, because we've never been in something that in that serious of a situation. And in fact, we have to forgive, because it's not an option. That brings us to our last point called forgiveness is conditional. How many of you guys ever heard the phrase, it's a two-way street? Like, it's a two-way street. Okay, maybe you haven't. Let me give you a little explanation of this. Say you're it's Saturday night, and you're like, hey, Mom, can I go hang out with some friends? And she's like, yeah, if you pick up all your clothes and clean the kitchen first and the bathroom. And you're like, what? Why can't I just go? And she goes, because it's a two-way street, meaning if I'm going to let you go somewhere, you're going to do something for me, right? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, so to speak, right? And when it comes to forgiveness, it's a two-way street. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want to point something out. If you guys remember when we first studied the prayer that's right here, Jesus says, you know, our fathers are in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then at the very end, he says, for yours is the power, yours is the kingdom, the glory forever. Amen. Right? He finishes off his prayer. But then right here in verse 14 and 15, he brings up forgiveness again. But right in verse 9, right in verse 12, when he already said in the prayer, forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. So it's like Jesus is saying, hey, by the way, this is so important that even after I'm done praying, I want to make sure that you guys understand this, right? That's what he's saying, basically. He's saying, yeah, I know I already prayed about it, but I want to make sure you guys know about it. So obviously, forgiveness is a huge deal. It must be super important. And by the way, I hope that when you heard that, you weren't just like, whatever. I hope that kind of like punched you in the stomach, because it kind of did for me when I heard it. Let me read it to you in another version. Maybe it'll help you out. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. Velocity, you know who doesn't go to heaven? The unforgiven. People who are unforgiven do not go to heaven. They are still in their sin, and therefore cannot be in heaven with God. And therefore, this is a two-way street part. This is the two-way street I was talking about, right? That's why I named this message, you can't spell forgiveness without give. Because just like Jesus did, I want to emphasize to you guys the same thing. I always want you to remember this. That to be forgiven means to give forgiveness. Always remember that. Remember that you can't spell forgiveness without giving it. Now maybe you're still thinking, well, why should I? Well, because how can we, as Christians, not give what we were given so freely? How hypocritical of us, right? I mean, we go up there and we say, God, I'm sinful and I'm dirty, and God, I've done all these things that are wrong, and I'm a sinful, dirty person. Please forgive me. And God says, okay. And then your buddy comes up to you and says, hey man, I totally wronged you. I've been talking a bunch of junk behind your back. I've been doing a bunch of stuff that you didn't know about. I'm sinful. I'm a liar. Will you forgive me? And we say, no. Right? How can we do that? We've been given freely. You see the problem there? The Bible, there's this great story also found in Matthew. I love it. It's the story of this guy. He's one of the workers, okay? And so the king says, get all my workers together, right? And so the worker comes up and the king says, you owe me, I think it's like 100,000 talents or something like that. Basically, let's just put it like this. Let's say that this servant owes him $10 billion. Okay, $10 billion. And he's like, I'm going to sell you and your family into slavery. You're going to give me some money. And the guy's like, no, please, king, don't do that. Be merciful on me. I'm sorry. I'll give you the money. Just give me a chance. And so the king says, you know what? Because you asked for forgiveness, I found favor, I found compassion on you. I've erased your debt. He said, I erased your debt to the guy who owes $10 billion, basically, right? That's amazing. So then here's the rest of the story. So now the other king's servants, now they're walking around one day, and they see the guy who got his debt forgiven with his hand around somebody's neck saying, give me my money. And he's choking the guy. And here's the deal. Let's say that this guy only owes that guy $50. Okay, so here's a guy who's just been forgiven a $10 billion debt. And the very next minute, he goes out and strangles somebody and says, give me my $50. You see the problem with that? Here's a guy who's just been forgiven so much, and he's not even willing to forgive that little $50 that somebody owed him. And that's the same thing for us. We must forgive. I want to mention one other thing. It's because some of you in here have forgiven each other and been forgiven by God, but you still haven't even like forgave yourself about something that you've done. Forgive yourself. Because if God has forgiven you, if you've asked him to forgive you, and you asked in faith, you're forgiven. So you no longer need to feel guilty for that thing that you did. Listen, if you don't take your own forgiveness, then you're putting your forgiveness above God's. You understand that? If God says, hey, that horrible thing you did, I forgive you because I love you. But you yourself can't even let go of that horrible thing you've done, well then all of a sudden now your forgiveness is higher than God's apparently. Which is untrue because Jesus had to die for that forgiveness. So if you're willing to forgive, be forgiven, you must forgive others. Don't keep beating yourself up either about it. You're forgiven. Move on. Now the other thing I want to touch on is I'm not doubting that many of you in here have been seriously hurt. Okay, I don't know all your guys' stories in here. And maybe you're thinking, well, what about this person who's wronged me and they're not even a Christian? They hate God. They hate me. They hate Christians. Well, maybe you're asking, do I have to forgive them? I'll tell you this, yes and no. The yes part is this. You have to forgive them in your heart. You cannot hold a grudge. You have to remember how much you have been forgiven and how much the Lord loves you and how much he's forgiven you, and you need to extend that love to them. But here's the no part. You don't have to seek out a person who's abusive. You don't have to seek out a person for their forgiveness if they're abusive to you, right? Because here's the deal. A non-believer, they don't even think that they've done anything wrong, right? I mean, imagine if here you are, some person does something totally horrible to you. You know those things that happen. Maybe it's happened to some of you guys. And this person doesn't even care about what they've done. They're like, big deal. Don't go find them and say, hey, I forgive you for what you did to me. And that guy's like, forgive me for what? I didn't do anything wrong, right? You're just condoning his lifestyle. So it doesn't mean that you get to hold a grudge. But it also doesn't mean that you just go out there condoning people's lifestyles, right? But here's the deal. Should that person find the Lord someday, or maybe they don't find the Lord and they just say they realize what they did to you was totally jacked up, you still have to forgive them then, okay? You have to be willing to open up to them, right? But once again, this is a two-way street. If you're going to receive forgiveness, if you're going to receive forgiveness from God and give it away as well, you must be willing to go ask somebody else to forgive you for the things that you've done wrong. Right? Two-way street. You want to give forgiveness? You got to get it. Right? You want to get it? You got to give it. We learned about this back in Matthew chapter 5, if you guys remember. It says, if you're on the way to the altar, right, or on your way to worship God, back then, sacrifice an animal, right? Take care of your sin, do anything like that. It says, if you're on your way to the altar and you remember at the altar that your brother has something against you, stop what you're doing. Leave your gift at the altar. Go find your friend. Ask them for forgiveness. And then come back and offer your gift. Or if you want to change it like we did the other day when we taught about this, you could say, If you're on your way to velocity, to worship, to hang out with friends, to get a Bible study, and you remember that you've wronged somebody on your way to velocity, well, before you go to velocity and worship God and read your Bible and do all these things, go get right with your friend. That could be the modern day translation of that. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, what if that person doesn't forgive me? What if I go ask that person for forgiveness and they say, no, I won't forgive you? Well, that's unbiblical. They can't not forgive you, right? We just learned about that. And second, you've done your part. Don't worry about it, right? If you try to ask them for forgiveness and they're like, get out of here. Okay, I love you, man. I'm here for you next time you need me, whatever you need, but you've done your part, right? So it's all good. I mean, imagine if somebody did something messed up to you and you forgave them, right? Imagine that. Imagine if that person who's hurt you the most, and maybe even other people know how bad you've been hurt, and then all of a sudden you're in this group or something like that, and that person comes up into your group, that person who's been talking smack about you or lying or doing whatever behind your back, and they say, hey, will you forgive me? And you say, yeah, I will forgive you. And all your friends are like, oh, why would you forgive that girl or that guy, dude? It's like Satan or something, you know what I mean? Like, why would you do that? And if you just simply reply, because that's what Jesus did for me. It's powerful stuff, man. People will be blown away. So, we are all in debt. We've all had debt in our lives. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not even old enough to have a credit card. How can I have debt, right? But you are. You've racked up a debt of sin. God says there's only two ways to pay off your debt. There's only two ways to pay off your debt. The first one is this. You go to hell, and you're punished for eternity. It's scary, right? Serious. That's what it would take to pay off your sin. Eternity being punished. Eternity, forever. You know that when we're in heaven and we get those really cool, glorious bodies I've been talking about, the people in hell will get a glorious body too, but it's so that they can endure the wrath of hell. How sad is that, right? But I got good news for you. That's just the first way. The second way is really easy. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that whoever believes in Jesus Christ will be saved, right? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And guess what? That's it. Nothing else. No purgatory, no pain, no you got to get beat up or something like that God's only going to take out a couple years of his wrath on you. No. He did that on Jesus Christ. That was the whole point of the cross, was to deal with the sin, that Jesus took your punishment. And maybe you're thinking in here now, I'm not that sinful, I don't sin. Okay, the Bible says that he who is out without sin is a liar. So you're just lying to yourself and you're a liar. But here's the deal. I want to encourage all of you in here who are forgiven, who have Jesus, I want to encourage you to do a couple things this week. I want to encourage you to seek forgiveness from somebody that you've wronged. Forgive somebody who's wronged you. And then try to confess your sin throughout the day. It doesn't mean you got to get on your knees and be like, you know, scream it out in front of the classroom. Just say, Father, I acknowledge that what I just did was not what you asked of me. And then think about it at the end of the day and say, how did I do today? Am I walking worthy? Am I really who I say I am? And for those of you who don't have Jesus, well, I pray that you'll be able to give your life to the Lord tonight, maybe, right? We're going to sing a final song in a second here, but I just pray that you guys will lose your debt tonight, right? Get your debt paid off. You see this? I made this for you guys because I just wanted to show you a little something. See, maybe this is your life right now. Maybe you got some lust and some laziness and some jealousy and some sexual immorality and some greed. Maybe you've thought about hurting yourself or suicide or maybe you have no faith or something like that. And you see, all these things are worthy of death, right? These things are worthy of the punishment of hell. But the best part is that Jesus Christ loves you so much that when you give your life to Jesus, this is what he does. See? And so, now when you get to heaven and you say, Lord, but I've done so many messed up things. He's like, no, it doesn't look like it to me. It looks like it's empty. But Lord, what do you mean? Oh, I erased all those things. I don't even remember anymore. They don't exist anymore, right? So cool, right, what God does for us. So as we sing this last song, I want to encourage you guys, if any of you guys need to give your life to the Lord, that you would just come find a leader. This isn't about everybody else. Don't be ashamed. Be happy to get rid of your debt. Loosen up that burden. We'll be all around the room. Just come up to one of us. Or if you're embarrassed, don't be embarrassed. We love you guys. We're here for you. That's why we're here. And before you walk out the door, then just come find me. Or Ashley's here. Ariel's here. Ruben's here. Colin's here. Everybody's here. We all love you, all right? So just think about that as we sing this last song. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for erasing our debt. Father, how can we withhold what you've given so freely? You're so good to us, and I love you, and we love you so much for it. I pray that, Father, we, those of us who in here who are Christians, we would walk worthy. Lord, this isn't just something that we can just, oh, I sinned today, big deal. It should be something that we look at as not right and want to change from that and be conformed to your image. And Father, for those of us in here who aren't believers, who say, man, that board that I just saw, I got a lot of that stuff going on in my life right now. I pray that they would just be bold enough to come find one of these leaders and give their life to you so simply, Father, simply by faith, simply by saying, I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe that he died for me. Fill me with the Spirit, Lord. Thank you for all you're doing. I pray that you'd help grow these students, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.